Welcome back to Horizons. Eamon Salmon was a visitor to our diocese just before Christmas. Eamon is a 67-year-old man, shortly to become a fully-fledged diocesan priest. He was studying with Margaret Nocton. Eamon Salmon, thank you very much for joining me, Eamon, and thank you for coming to Kerry Diocese.
I am doing a course here with CPE up in the University Hospital Kerry, and Margaret Nocton is our supervisor. It's a very engaging course. Personally, I didn't want to do it initially, but the bishop felt it was a good course to go on. And I have to say, on reflection, that it was an excellent course, and I'd recommend the course for anybody.
And just remind people what CPE stands for.
Clinical Pastoral Education.
And the kind of work that you'd end up doing.
We'd be out in the hospital talking to patients and meeting people where they're at and treating people as we would like to be treated ourselves, with respect, dignity and compassion.
And Margaret said you had an interesting story to tell, so I'm delighted to get a chance to chat to you this morning. Eamon, you are a mature man, but you are nearly a priest at this stage. You're a deacon.
Mature is being very kind to me. And yes, I am a man of 67 years of age, and I was married. I have 4 children, and I have 7 grandchildren, and my wife passed away in August 2015 after a long illness, and she had a condition called idiopathic pulmonary fibrosis, which was a lung condition. And I retired in 2012 to care for her, and she died in 2015.
I'm so sorry to hear that, but the follow-on from that has landed you here in Kerry Diocese doing this course with us.
The follow-on from that was, I was over in the west of Ireland at a funeral, and a priest I met at the funeral, whom I did not know, latched on to me, if I can say that.
In a pleasant way,
yes,
I hope.
Yes, in a very pleasant way. And he asked me, was I going back for something to eat after the funeral? And I said I was. So he said, I'll see you there. He did. And during our conversation there, he asked me, did I ever think of becoming a priest? Which I politely told him, no.
How did he even think of that, Eamon?
I honestly believe that the Holy Spirit was talking through him to me, because the very thought of that was in my head, but I wasn't admitting it to anybody, and I declined his offer. But I became very friendly with this priest, and as a result of becoming friendly, I'm driving home to Wexford one of the evenings, and he happened to ring me.
Now, do you live in Dublin or Wexford, Eamon? Which would you see as your home?
Wexford. At this point in time, because I was Dublin, but when my wife got ill, because of her condition, she couldn't go up the stairs.
And that was, you were based in Dublin?
And that was my base
most of your life?
Yes.
Born in Dublin?
Born in Dublin, a Jack Inn. And now went and have a house down in Wexford.
A holiday home. Was it a holiday home?
Initially a holiday home, but then became the main home. And my wife was able to live there while I was working, and I used to commute from Wexford to Dublin to work.
And just tell us a little bit, what were you working at?
I started working at 14 years of age.
A young lad.
Yes, and I worked for a company, Irish Rail, CIE, at the time.
We're all familiar with that.
Yes, and I came up through the ranks. I became supervisor, tradesman, the rest, and eventually becoming manager. And I was manager over the locomotives in Diesel 1, repairing the locomotives. But first I was doing building coaches. I was trained in England to do building of coaches.
You've kind of done everything with them.
Yeah, well.
And the promotion, is that because of your nice personality or hard work?
I think I was just in the right place at the right time.
Oh, that's such a diplomatic answer.
No, it's an honest answer. And I was fortunate enough to get this role. And maybe other people thought I was suitable for that, and they must have to give me the job.
And were you based in Dublin the whole time, or were you moving? Were you moving with the rail?
No, I was based in Dublin all the time because of my wife's illness. I said, it's more important that I have quality time with her.
What was your wife's name?
Antoinette.
Antoinette. And had Antoinette always been sick? A long timer.
In 2004, Antoinette was diagnosed with pulmonary fibrosis, and she was given 2 years to live in 2004. And to be honest with you, I came out of the Bon Secours and I was crying like a baby because I didn't know how to, what I was going to do without the love of my life. And I was very, very lucky that she didn't die until 2015. So I look back and I say, I had 43 quality years with Antoinette. And I also realise that some people don't even get anything next or near that. So I'm very happy for the time I had with Antoinette.
You had a good marriage.
We had a good marriage. We had four kids and we were very blessed to have four healthy, happy kids.
But like, that's a long time to be with somebody. Surely you had plenty of ups and downs and...
Regularly.
That's the truth now, Eamon.
But true love never runs smooth. And yes, as my wife used to say, Eamon's the king in our house and I'm the queen. And she would honestly say, if we were arguing with one another, and the kids then would know you're arguing with one another, as obvious, but she'd still support me and I'd support her. And we tried not to do it in front of the kids. Being normal people, it does happen.
And, you know, there's a lot of joy in rearing children, isn't there? How did you find it?
Exactly as you say it. There's a lot of joy and there's a lot of ups and downs. There's good times and bad times. But overall, the balance is great. The best times is when they're younger and you can put them to bed and you know they're in bed safely. But when they go out, teenagers, and start going out and they're out at late at night, you worry, you don't sleep till they come home to make sure they're in safe.
And there are so many challenges as they get older, you know, because partners, everything that happens as they go along, lots. And the time goes quickly too.
Yeah, well, I mean, we always want the perfect partner for our children, but ultimately, we don't pick them. That is their choice. We rear them to be independent. And as a result of that, we hope that they will be fortunate enough to pick a lifelong partner. And thanks be to God, they have that at this particular time.
What about grandchildren? That must be fantastic.
It's wonderful to have grandchildren because the best about it is you can hand them back.
Absolutely.
Now, I love them to bits. They love to go to McDonald's with Granda and I bring them wherever they want to go. I spoil them at this point in time, because you couldn't do that because money was tight when you were younger with kids. And most young families know it's a struggle now to get A to B. And with the price of things now, everybody knows how difficult. But it was similar years ago.
Yeah, but the housing thing seems to be a massive issue for the young people nowadays trying to buy a house. That's crazy.
Well, years ago, you had a stay-at-home mum. And my wife was a stay-at-home mum. And now you need two people to have any hope of getting a mortgage. And we all hear in the news regularly people looking for homes and there's not enough homes being built and this, that and the other. But at the end of the day, things have changed and things have moved on. Like, we wouldn't buy it unless we could afford it. And we scrimp and scrape to get whatever we have to do. But I feel that kids nowadays throw away, oh, I'll have that. And you ask yourself, who's right and who's wrong? Because you've only one life, so make the most of it while you're here. And don't live your life with regrets.
I think it's time for a piece of music. Cat Stevens, The Wind.
I listen to the wind of my soul. Where I'll end up, well, I think only God really knows. I've sat upon the setting sun, but never, 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 I never wanted water once. No, never, never, never. I listen to my words, but they fall far below. I let my music take me where my heart wants to go. I've swam upon the devil's lake, but never, 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 I'll never make the same mistake. No, never, never, never.
I'm in conversation with Eamon Salmon, shortly to be ordained priest. Eamon, you did your best with your family.
Yeah, well, my kids have said they were very blessed with the way we looked after them, and we gave them the best we could give them. No different to any other family. Now, my kids are all well educated, and they're managers and engineers and farmers.
And none of them left school at 14?
No, I made sure that they didn't leave at 14 to give them a little bit of an education, something that I didn't have.
You got it along the way, Eamon. You definitely got it along the way. I mean, big job. You reared the children. You worked hard all your life. Then you minded your wife, Antoinette, as she was sick. And then you made this completely different change to studying for the priesthood.
Yes. The change happened after my wife passed away or died. And how will I start this?
Well, you must have always been religious, Eamon, were
well,
you?
Well, to be honest with you, before I met my wife, and I was with my wife from she was 14 and I was 15.
Oh my goodness. Yeah.
So we were very fortunate as well because we were young and it lasted.
That is.
And we were very happy, as I said to you, and we grew up together and we'd done everything together. Before I met her, I did harbour the idea of becoming a priest, but she corrupted me. So when I got married to Antoinette, I forgot completely about the priesthood. And only after she died, the thoughts was coming back into my head.
But were ye regular attenders at Mass? And
regular attender, and I worked in Lourdes for 20-odd years with the oblates. I worked in the baths, and I helped at Sale Works, and I'm in a welfare association in CIE that I go visit in hospitals.
So you've been part of the church the whole way,
without a shadow of a doubt. I've always been doing that, and I've always tried to help everybody because you reap what you sow. If you keep throwing it out, you know, some of it comes back, I hope. But to get back to the priesthood, the calling became stronger and stronger for the priesthood. And I kept trying to push it away. And I said, I'm too old to become a priest. Like 60-odd years of age. Wow. Should I have a long life myself?
But you're pretty healthy, though, as well.
Oh, I am healthy. Thanks
you do plenty of walking.
I do plenty of walking. But you still harbour these doubts. And one fella said to me, Jesus only ministered for 3 years.
Good point. Mm-hmm.
I reflected on that. And I said, well, if I can help one person, that's fine. Within myself, I wasn't happy. The only way I can explain it to you is, I'm normally a happy-go-lucky type of individual. And I was a bit miserable after my wife, for obvious reasons. I have a great devotion to Our Lady in Knock. And I go to Knock regular. And as I said to you, I've met this priest. And I went to reconciliation over there, confession. And I hadn't been at confession for a long time. Now, I hadn't murdered anybody, by the way.
Good
or
job.
Anything like that. But I just felt there's something in here that I didn't know what it was. And it was the priesthood coming out and that I needed to go to be a priest. I wasn't fulfilled as an individual. I wasn't happy within myself.
You have been ordained as a deacon now. And that's not the permanent deacon that we have a number of in our diocese now. You're nearly a priest. You have a year to go and you'll probably be ordained.
Yeah, a little over a year, yeah.
Little over a year to go. How come you didn't choose, let's say, the permanent diaconate as a route? How did you know you wanted to be fully ordained as a priest?
Well, to be perfectly honest with you, I was asked that question when I went in for the psychologist assessment. She asked me exactly the same question. And I said, I'd love to give you an answer. But within my heart, I can tell you, the priest is the calling I had. It wasn't a deacon, a permanent deacon. It was a priest. And I think that was the Holy Spirit talking to me. And that was the answer I gave. She accepted it. I can't tell you how I know, but I know that the priesthood is for me. And I think the Holy Spirit has something that needs to be done. And I'm the vessel for whatever he needs to be doing. And I'm very happy with what I'm doing. And I have to tell you, I'm very content. And when I made my decision, my joy, my total feelings within myself are back to what they used to be.
You're back to being happy.
Back to being happy. After I made that decision to be going a priest, I would recommend it to anybody thinking of becoming a priest. At my age, and I think I'm a good example now, you're never too old. Always go with your heart. Listen to the ear of the heart, as Pope Francis says.
And then, I mean, when you've listened, you have to continue listening. You've been through quite a lot of study now. Where did you do most of your study?
My study was over in De Beda College in Rome. And I have to tell you, I was not an academic. So
Are you telling me you are now, Eamon?
I'm not telling you anything at all. I am telling you, I am not an academic. But you will get through all this if you have that vocation and have that calling. The Holy Spirit will guide you in the way that you are supposed to be.
How many years of study now have you done?
I have done 3 years in Rome. You see, being more mature, as you said earlier, you get a little bit of dispensation for life experiences.
And all the involvements you've had in the church the whole way along, that is all to your credit. And that's part of what you bring to this vocation and to this study. So you've enjoyed every bit of the route?
No, I haven't. I haven't enjoyed the study. But I have got through the study because I know that's what I need to do. And it's also a great learning curve. You know, you're learning all the time. And to me, every day is a learning day. Mm-hmm. And I don't really like a cliche, giving cliche answers. But I tell you, that's the way I feel. And I'm giving you, honestly, it comes. Because I feel if you don't speak from the heart, and if we as future priests don't work from our heart and talk to people and meet people where they're at.
There's a lot of change required of the church at the moment. What kind of views have you? Are you happy with how things are? Would you like women to be priests? Where are you in that whole range of beliefs?
Well, there's a synod going on now at the moment, and they're discussing all these type of things. And I, in my little bit of life, have to focus on what I have to do and not be too worried about what goes on, because I can only change what I can at a local level. The powers to be will do what they have to do in relation to women and other areas that need to be
synodality
changed.
Synodality and all the listening and all of that.
And I think the church needs to move forward in certain things. I want to be able to help everybody. Christ serving everybody. We don't judge nobody. We're here to work and help people as best we possibly can and try to bring people back. And I feel that you reap what you sow. And I think priests have to earn respect, not command respect. I think priests have to be out among the people to earn that little bit of respect. And then as a result of that, we might bring people in because they'll say, well, you know, they're doing the work.
When you talk about helping people, and that has been mentioned a few times, what kind of help do you mean?
Whatever is their needs, you know, whatever their requirements are, to the best of our ability, we're not going to be able to help everybody, but wherever we can. Like, we can be setting up, like, there's lots of little things with Alzheimer's and stuff like that around the place. People have, it's come to the fore a lot. My mother suffered from Alzheimer's. So there's very little help for the likes of that, for people at home. So I think I'd like to be able to set up little areas where they can have little groups and we can work with them there together and give the carers a break and bring them and build up the communities. And as a result of that, it'll spread.
You're training to be a diocesan priest.
I'm training to be a diocesan priest.
So you will be placed in a pastoral area in Wexford or Dublin?
Wexford.
Wexford is now your place.
Ferns, the Diocese of Ferns.
Very nice. So what have you to look forward to in this forthcoming year? Have you finished your studies in Tralee?
I'm after doing the 12-week course now here in the CPE and up in the hospital here, University Hospital Kerry. And I have to say, I have grown as an individual within those 12 weeks. I'm very direct in the way I speak to people. So I've learned to sort of not be as direct, not to be as this, that, you know, and to listen more. And honestly, I can't emphasize how great the course has been for someone that didn't want to go on it. I grew as an individual, and at my age, you don't feel you can change much now because the die is cast. But I did.
Well, I think you're making a lot of changes in your life at the moment, all these years working towards the priesthood. Eamon, it has been lovely to talk to you, and I hope people listening get some inspiration for it and see the route that you've chosen as you got older, how your circumstances changed and you chose a new route. So congratulations on that, and thank you very much, Eamon Salmon, for talking to us this morning.
You're very welcome, Mary. Not a problem. And if anybody needs to contact me at any point, you'll get my number off, Mary, and I can talk and I'll be honest with everybody that's interested. Thank you.
Eamon Salmon, lovely to chat to you this morning. After the break, we want your input.